Hey, you guys. I'm Zach Goldsmith, seated next to El Caballero Bembelac. And welcome to another episode of To Live and Buy in Los Angeles. Housing market headlines are dynamic, almost daily right now. And by the end of this episode, it is our goal to provide you with a synthesized perspective on what the market has looked like up until now and how it will look moving forward through the end of the year. Let's dive right in.
I want to be clear here. We're going to talk national market and local market. So some LA stuff to look forward to. Wall Street Journal is reporting that the fall in home prices may already be over. Home prices stopped dropping in the U.S. for five consecutive months as of July. The quick recovery suggests that the housing downturn may be shorter and shallower than expected. Scarcity is the big reason for the recovery.
Well, let's turn to CoreLogic, a trusted source of information in the world of real estate. U.S. home price gains rose 2.5% year over year in July to mark the 138th straight month of annual growth. The annual acceleration reflects six consecutive monthly gains, which drove prices about 5% higher compared to the February bottom. That said, high mortgage rates have slowed additional price surges, with monthly increases returning to regular season averages. In other words, home prices are still growing, but are in line with historic seasonal expectations. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, and I want to say that CoreLogic is, if you've ever heard of Kay Schiller, that's the guys who predicted the crash in 2008. You know, they're one of like three sources that we turn to for forecasting. So big report coming from them.
I mean, they're not Nostradamus, but, you know, they've been pretty accurate so far. So we go with it.
I mean, they and Ivy Zelman are like the two, like for national housing market, they're the two people I always turn to. And they're like a little bit more aggressive and you know, not just like playing in the, you know, the safety zone there when they make a prediction. Yeah. So it, also part of their report, the 11 states that saw home price declines were all in the West. Idaho with the most at a 5.7% drop, and then Nevada, Montana, Washington, Arizona, Utah, Oregon, Colorado, Texas, Wyoming, and California coming in at 0.3%.
Big hits in the West. What do you attribute that to? The horses? Being able to get around through horse and carriage?
I think that, I mean, I'll answer your question. I know part of it was like facetious, but the thing is like, 0.3% statewide for California is not a big hit.
I'll take it.
But we're going to see something different locally for sure. But I think the reason for it in the West is, believe it or not, I think part of it is the taxes that we pay. And I think it is the way our government policy is run. For example, in Los Angeles right now, we are seeing like these group robberies in retail malls, and it's against the law. You can get fined for trying to stop them. So I think that if you pile on homelessness, crime, cleanliness, cost of living, cost of buying, people are just like, I'm out of here. I had enough. So that's why I think that's happening.
Certainly in California, and I think too many states are taking our lead, which normally in good times is a smart move. Right now, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's just I think people are reaching their patience threshold.
All right, well, look, let's get down to the projection of how we see things. So the projection of prolonged higher mortgage rates has dampened price forecasts over the next year, at least at this point, particularly in less affordable markets. But as there is still an extreme inventory shortage in the Western United States, which is being affected right now, home prices in some of those markets should see relatively more upward pressure. All states that saw year-over-year losses in July will begin posting gains by October. You like that?
We'll see.
We'll see. CoreLogic, that's their prediction. We'll see again. They also expect that year over year, U.S. home price gains will reach 3.5% by July 2024. Inventory historically peaks in August, but according to Housing Wire, another great source we use, that hasn't happened yet, which shows the impact higher rates is having on supply. That said, it's important to note that over a third of houses on the market have reduced their prices over the last few months, and that is far more than any recent year other than last year, when what happened? We saw mortgage rates hike for the first time in years.
Three times in a row, starting in June of last year. 375 basis points.
Crazy hikes, yeah. And I think reductions are a future indicator of home sales prices. They go hand in hand. So look, a home sits on the market now in September, gets a price reduction, let's say in late September, gets an offer in October, closes in November at a lower price point.
Yeah.
Therefore, sales prices weaken in the future, contradicting CoreLogic's theory a little bit. Let's see. You got a little Housing Wire CoreLogic battle here.
Yeah, I know. And I think that's kind of the point of this episode is like it's really hard for the consumer to be able to wade through all of these conflicting headlines because it is dynamic, as you said at the top, from day to day. I do think it's really interesting because when we go to, as we call comp, homes that are going to be for sale, we look at doing a comparative market analysis for seller, the comps are retroactive, right? They're in the past. So like we're starting to see, at least in my office, we've been seeing homes starting to, believe it or not, have appraisal variance that we haven't seen before because we're seeing an actual shift in the marketplace.
So you're saying appraisals, houses not appraised over the last month or two or three?
No, believe it or not, they're coming in over because the market was stronger 6 months to a year ago.
And that's what they're using as reference points.
Yeah, but the thing is I think a better forecaster, which an appraiser would never use, nor do we want them to, is, as you said, if we're seeing lower prices, that means we're going to see, like, for example, we said that Idaho is down 5.7%. If all of these homes are being reduced now, the next analysis, the next quarter, it's going to be even deeper. So turning to the mortgage market, rate lock volume fell 1.5% in August, the third consecutive decline as mortgage rates climbed to the highest level more than 20 years. Overall lock volumes were down 9.5% over the last 3 months and were 55% below that of August 2022, according to Black Knight's August Originations Market Monitor report.
Yeah, I mean, August was another rough month for mortgage borrowers from an interest rate perspective.
Ugh, brutal.
The 30-year, let's read him some stats here. The 30-year mortgage rate climbed to nearly 7.3% to hit their highest level in more than 20 years, ending the month at just over 7%. Demand for adjustable rate mortgage loans slipped to 6.5% of total locks as jumbo rates finished the month at 7.5%.
I'm surprised by that.
Why?
I'm surprised because as interest rates go up to like these historic highs, as you're describing them, usually people become...
Recent historic highs, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay, yeah. People become more monthly nut sensitive, just like the price of the what they're paying every month because it's considerably higher, and the adjustable rate mortgage actually brings that down. But I think because the banks overall are getting out of the business of lending for right now, the difference between an adjustable rate mortgage and a 30-year fix is so little. That's actually why it slipped. Sorry, I just kind of worked that out on my
head. Yeah, no, that's true. Well, current housing market dynamics continue to put a damper on mortgage demand.
Oh, yeah.
Rates did edge down toward the end of August a little bit.
But
prospective home buyers still face the least affordable housing market in nearly four decades.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like you think normally when interest rates go pushing high, that like it's just going to take buyers out of the market. But in this market, it's taking sellers out too because they're like, I'm not moving.
Yeah, of course they can't. But I mean, four decades, 40 years, like that's when we moved here. My family moved here when I was three from London, England.
You were not 43 four decades ago.
Roughly. Little added.
You were
add
eight.
A little more to it. Okay. It's four decades plus.
This guy's always trying to sneak his youth into this podcast.
The rates. Look, I'm now going to be 33 in a month. It's
like Jewish Benjamin Button here. It's going backwards.
I look like it. Come on.
Well,
look
the
at
the hairline's looking like an infant.
Well, you know, Propecia. We'll see if it works. I did take it in my 20s, picking it up again.
I like it.
But that you think about it, nearly four decades.
I know.
The worst market to buy in from.
Right when I'm a buyer.
When you're a buyer.
Thanks, guys.
You should have bought 40 years ago. What were you doing? But do you know, realize something? I think I've said this before, that interest rates when my parents bought four decades ago was 19%.
I know, but the houses were like $35. Let's turn local because this is a Los Angeles-based show. Okay, so I'm going to give some stats that are year over year. End of August 2021 to end of August 2022, and then the same range to 2023.
Okay, make it exciting, will you?
Well, it's surprising. Beverly Hills, average days on market up 21%. So taking longer to sell when days on market goes up. The amount of listings sold down almost 40%. Sales price about the same for those of you that think there's a crash. New listings down almost 14%. Turning to WeHo, West Hollywood. Average days on market also up nearly 20%. Amount of homes sold down 43%. Pricing down a little, 3.5%. New listings flat.
So what's the surprising part there to you? That prices having come down with days on market so much higher and sales down?
No, I'll tell you, let me get through these and then I'll tell you my feeling on it.
Oh, we got more?
There's a couple more because I thought we would go over like kind of the main neighborhoods of interest in LA.
Smart.
So average days on market in the Hills, flat. I think that's normal because we see the Hills affected first and it started sooner, but sold homes down 40%. Sales price up 13.75%. New listings down 8.5%. Turning to the Palisades.
That's surprising on its own there.
Okay. It is. But Hollywood Hills is kind of its own unique beast. It's also a gigantic geonet. Pacific Palisades, days on market down. The amount of solds down 30%, but new listings is up 14%. I think a lot of that has something to do with
new construction, the builds,
and
the
new records in the Palisades. It's kind of like the new girl in town. Brentwood.
What, do you live in like a small town in the Midwest? New girls in town. Everyone's looking.
That's Groucho Marx.
Okay. What would you... Either way,
not the
like
West.
The new girl in town. Like you're you're in Stand By Me.
What I meant by the Palisades is that, you know, it's one of those areas where, you know, Rick Caruso came in, right? He did The Village and it changed the value.
It does feel like its own little town.
It does, yeah. So Brentwood, average days on market up. So taking longer to sell, solds down 40%, new listings down 7%. Bel Air, days on market up. Sold down almost 30%. Sales price up, a neighborhood known for gigantor, big numbers. Sales price down 37%. New listings. That's probably like lower prime Bel Air and Westgate. Not high up the hill. Bel Air is gigantic too. New listings about
flat.
Yeah,
that's we're talking about houses that are on the market for $60 million that may be worth 37.
Not going to mention any names.
No, because you wouldn't need to mention any names because ours are priced well.
Hancock Park, lastly here, average days on market up 28%, solds down 38%, new listings down 15%. So you asked me moments ago, am I surprised? Am I surprised? I'm not surprised by any of this. I think that the reason why, for the exception of the few outliers that we described why they are, like Bel Air, where we're known, we see houses that have sold for $100 million. The reason why we've not seen a big adjustment is because, sure, while solds are down, so are new listings. And as we've been preaching all year long, it seems that supply, specifically low supply, is winning the battle against demand.
It's wild because if you look at the national median home price last year, mm-hmm. it was $440,000, which, by the way, is high. Doesn't that seem high?
Yeah, it was in the threes before.
It was in the threes. Yeah, 2 years ago.
Meanwhile, jumbo conforming loan in California in higher price counties just raised to 1.1, meaning to get a conforming loan, the sexy loan, the fun loan, you get up to 1.1 million. That's a lot. That is previously, like probably like 2 years ago, I think it was like 730.
That's wild. Have you ever tried putting jumbo conforming loan into Pornhub?
No.
You'd be shocked what comes up. So the price jumped,
banker
yes,
porn.
From 2 years ago, from the threes to the fours. But what's surprising to me is the median price in the United States is higher this year than last year. But I guess it goes to what you were saying. You're not surprised. It's supply, or lack thereof, is winning out mm-hmm. over demand.
And by the way, demand has been under attack too, because even those people, let's say, that actually have the life change, they're like, we need more space. I think that the breadwinners of the family are turning to each other and saying, we have a 3% interest rate. Pricing has
down.
Pricing has only moved in the state of California down 0.3%. Why would we go buy a bigger house at 7.25? Not only are they not willing to, but my guess is they can't even get approved by the bank to do it.
Yeah, the bank's not even lending on that. Well, that is the lock-in effect that we talked about earlier, that you talked about just now. That's why homeowners are reluctant to sell their properties. I'm reluctant to sell my property. I have a 3%
rate. I know, and I know you've been thinking about it too for what, maybe 2 years? I feel like you've mentioned it.
I've wanted to pull the trigger, and it's so hard mm-hmm. to let go of a 3% rate for a 7-point-something% rate. And
plus, you
property
live in one
taxes
of,
will increase.
Yeah,
by
and you
double.
Live in one of the world's best zip codes. And like, my guess is it would push you into the valley.
I mean, there's a lot of different places I could go, but you want more house,
more
space.
I was going to say, so
it pushes
feels,
you out.
It
yes.
feels like a meaningful enough change
well,
to move.
Well, it's a financial shock that would come with losing that historically mm-hmm. low mortgage rates. And that's yeah. something people like me aren't willing to do
I'm
necessarily,
struggling myself.
You know, with a 6 or 7% handle. That rate locked in is going to continue to keep inventory tight moving forward. It's hard to get people to trade up when their monthly payment will more than double with a new property mm-hmm. unless they have to. So what are we advising ourselves?
But that's
our
what
clients?
I'm saying. The ones that have to, I think for the first time, because this is 4 decades, they're like, maybe we don't have to. We're going to, as my mom says, make do.
Yeah, you make do, of course, until you itch enough. And we are humans and we're built to evolve and grow. And we want to. Like, eventually, I'm not going to, if the rates continue like this, I'm not going to sit here anymore. I'm not going to sit here forever until my rate runs out. I'll probably,
I know, but your
I'll
family
upgrade
is
and I'll
comfortable.
Rent my house.
You guys are comfortable. And you know, it's not like your boys are sharing a room and they're like getting too old for that, or like you had a daughter and a son, which you don't, like sharing a room and they're too old. Like, you guys could really make that work for a good, like, you know.
Absolutely. And we can even go up higher. We can add on.
Yeah.
We can do all that. But there's still something in me that I think everyone else is, you love change. You love bigger, better, newer, different. And I'm still looking. And if I find something and I think there are deals, Now, I think there are going to be more to present themselves, because mm-hmm. if you do have the clout to be able to borrow, which not everyone does now.
Like no one.
You can take advantage of price houses. You make stronger, more aggressive offers. And that's what I am going to do. I'm in no rush to do it, but that is what I think I will need to do at some point. So if a house is out there and it's right for you or your clients, push them into making the decision that they are going to be comfortable with, but stretch. I'm happy stretching. I feel good when I have to stretch because it makes me want to attain more.
Yeah, it's like it's a stretch moment.
Yeah.
So
I think these are stretch. It's a good way to put it and coin it. I think these are stretch moments coming up that help us grow. And so I don't want to be locked into my rate and not be able to grow. So I'm going to stretch when the time is right.
I want to add something because Zach basically just kind of, you know, found his way into his final thoughts here. And by the way, you can, sir, please feel free to add on at any point. As
okay, well, oh, you want to finish first.
The one thing I want to say is because we're talking about LA here now for a second,
whose median price, by the way, is more than double the nation's median price.
Well,
it's LA, like 963 wait, yeah,
wait
in
more.
LA.
Wait, yeah, it's got to be way yeah. even higher than that. Okay, so here's what I think as far as our local market goes. We have been reporting all year long since we started this podcast that we were not going to see a gigantic adjustment, that we would see like maximum 10% or so. I think that's what we said on our inaugural episode.
And we've been saying it since.
And I think that, like you just said, we're seeing that these price reductions are going to forecast the new headlines that the market's going down, right? I personally think after this next report, it's not going to go down anymore. And here's one thing I do want to say. We live in a town full of a lot of self-employed people, at least in the market that you and I sell in, whether they're in entertainment or some other version of self-employment. And by the way, you and I are both incorporated. We've done financial episodes on this, but under the IRS, they still look at us as self-employed. They still categorize us that. For the people that had a bad year, let's say in 2022, or for those that had a bad year in 2023 because of a prolonged actor and writer strike,
they're not buying.
They are not going to buy, and that tax return will stay with them for a year until they decide to pay their taxes. Now, they could pay them a little sooner. I'm guessing they're not so cash positive because they've been on strike. And then they hold, let's say, to the September 15th deadline, which actually this year is pushed to October 15th. But I do think it's going to have this still kind of tug of war between demand and supply, because I feel like we're finally experiencing in Los Angeles less demand, meaningful less demand. In LA, maybe not the rest of the country, but in LA, we're feeling meaningful less demand and less inventory. So like, we're not seeing that much of an adjustment. It's like we're in this like perpetual market stalemate.
Yeah, I think where we'll also see a little bit more of an adjustment is in the second home market, the vacation market. I think they're getting hit.
Here's another one that you've been contemplating
ready to
for
jump
a while.
Yeah. Which I did a bunch at the 3% rate had we seen that coming.
Well, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Luckily. One smart move I ever made was buy a house in the desert at 3%.
Yeah. And I think like we've seen home prices here come down 10% over the last year, kind of like what we predicted. Max, right?
Yeah, some have come down that much. Some hoods.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think as an average, 10%. And I think the secondary market is getting hit harder. I think it'll continue to get hit harder. And I think that will be another place of opportunity, both for living and for investment. So I think we stick around. And while the interest rates stay here, while supplies stay low, this kind of evens out. I'm seeing more activity pick up post-summer anyway. Now, post-Labor Day, things are picking up again. And I think just people have that itch.
Your buyers are listings are like, I'm ready to put on the market?
No, I'm seeing buyers ready
to pay. Yeah, okay, so buyers, different.
To pay prices, though, now.
And also...
Sure, they don't want to buy an 8.5 house for 8.4. They want to buy it for 8.1, but fine. That's the adjusted price.
I mean,
and then everyone's happy.
But I just want to say, of all of the neighborhoods I just named, Beverly Hills, WeHo, Hollywood Hills, Pacific Palisades, Brentwood, Bel Air, and Hancock Park, aside from Bel Air being an extremely skewed stat for the reason that we mentioned, none of these have really, the price year over year, August to August, 21 to 22, 22 to 23, none of them have dropped more than like 4%.
Yeah.
Some of these are up. So maybe we'll get to this 10% number in when we see a little bit of pain at the end of this year. But so far, we haven't seen it. So those of you guys looking for a cheaper house, I'm sorry, looking for, yes, for those of you guys that have been waiting for a cheaper house, my advice to you as your real estate advisor is, the cheaper house is not necessarily going to come in the form of getting a 3.5 house for $3 million. You got to buy a $2.5 million house, or you're going to watch the market pass you by, and it's going to cost you more money next year for less house.
So your advice is to jump in at a lower price point
just
than you
wanted.
Just
bite the bullet, because a lot. By the way, this is what I'm going to do. The reason why I'm saying this is because I think that once interest rates go down out of, remember the episode we did where they were like, oh, it's a tightening interest rate, and then there's expansionary interest rates? I think once interest rates come back down again, we are going to see pricing go up
for sure.
And then I'd rather just get out of that house quickly, make a quick income, and that's it.
That's one way to go. I'm going to jump to a higher price point
with a higher interest rate, commit financial suicide.
And then I've done it every time, and inshallah, it's worked out.
Well, yeah, but your interest rate is not four decade high.
No, but it's still historically low at 7%, and it probably, I predict, it'll get down to 6% soon in a few months. I think we'll see some lowering of interest rates, mm-hmm. but I think that demand will continue to be high, especially when interest rates lower. So I don't see too much going on in the market.
You
over
got
the
steady
end of the
income.
Year.
You have steady income then, but all those actors and writers and those guys who will have a bad tax return, they will not be able to refi because the bank will say you have declining income.
Correct. And there will be a lot of them who have to sell. So locally, there will start to be opportunities.
That's interesting.
It's sad because a lot of them are us. You know,
that's interesting.
But where there is downfall, there are opportunities. Mm. And I think we're going to see those in the upcoming months. I hope this was helpful. It was helpful for me to hear it. I may watch it back and take notes. It's been another episode of To Live and Buy in Los Angeles. We hope that forecast was useful. We've been pretty accurate so far with CoreLogix and Housing Wire and us kind of combining. Let's hear your thoughts. Let's continue moving forwards, onwards and upwards. Thanks for tuning in. Looking forward to the next episode.
I'm at Ben Bellack. This is at Zach Goldsmith 24.
And the real estate market is super bien. See.